You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's always good to be with you and our listening audience way out there, wherever they are. Yeah.
In cyberland.
Oh, hey, that's a good one. Yeah.
We do have a listener question. It looks like several questions here from Willem in the Netherlands. His question, the rule of thumb is that the value of T-bonds and stocks go in opposite directions, but I see that currently both U.S. stocks and U.S. T-bonds are going higher. Does the value of both things going...
Yeah, let's deal with that.
Sure. So is that just a myth then?
No, it's happening. We are in a great financial boom. And financial instruments go up in price during one of these booms. And then when the boom is over, they head down. And, it's what's happened with previous great bubbles, where financial assets such as stocks and bonds get bid up, property in the financial center gets bid up. You know, it's just all a crazy party. And then it ends.
Now the question continues here from Willem. Does the value of both things going higher signal the fast nearing end of the 45-year period of falling U.S. bond yields and the end of the boom in financial assets, stocks, and bonds in the same 45 years?
Yeah, well, the last high in commodities, big high, was an amazing one in 1980. But we've been in what I call a tyrannical century. And the features of a tyrannical century are excessive government conducting wars against countries and wars against their own citizens. And they tax to the limit. And then what taxation can't supply, they then fund with deliberate currency depreciation. And this is what we have had now, and of particular and key was the big commodity boom. Last one was 2008, and then somewhere around a decade later, you can have the financial bubble go crazy, which which it has. I mean, it's been the everything bubble. And now this is the critical one. When this everything bubble fails, and according to our research, this is stretched to the limit. Now, in the first quarter, we thought the stock markets could be really good out to mid-year. Then we got to mid-year and said, hey, this thing's going to go right through into the fall. And this is what we're getting. Now, we're also getting sentiment figures. I mean, everybody, including much of the unsophisticated public, are in the game. We've got momentum numbers. So somewhere here, the best on this move could be accomplished. And then when it rolls over, oh, watch out. The collapse in financial items brings down the economy quite quickly. In normal business cycle, you have the S&P peak, and then maybe 10, 12 months later, the economy does. And this is why they keep the S&P 500 as one of the leading indicators. But at the end of a great bubble, everything's been bubbled, and then everything gets unbubbled more or less at the same time. So when this fails, it will also bring the economy down, let's use the term instantly. you know, maybe a month or two. And then you go into a very serious contraction. And previous examples, of course, are 1929. Before that, it was 1873 for the Magnificent Bubble. And then 1825, oh, that was a huge, huge bubble. And 1772 was another one. And then the first great bubble was, of course, the South Sea Bubble of 1720. Now, the interesting thing is that participants then invented the new thing, which was the great financial bubble. And even more fascinating is that on each example since, and although participants in each example usually know nothing about the previous one, they're able to replicate the action of the first example. And this is what we monitor. And so what's going to happen here is quite popular now to consider that the Fed is going to start a series of Fed cuts, and this will be good for the overall markets. But this is not the case in the past. You want to have a rule of thumb. In a boom, short rates, such as T-bills, go up. And in the bust, same T-bill rates go down. So rising short rates, such as T-bills, is a confirming item. But people seem to think that rising rates is bad. But then when the rates go down, so does the market. And so falling rates is a disaster. And we've got charts on this and plot it right through. So now we're talking about rates here. It's the T-bill rate. But when you go into, or you're in a financial boom, low-grade securities such as junk bonds do well, and they have done exceptionally well until fairly recently, where they seem to be a bit toppy. So this would be another indicator when junk bond prices go down. But the key thing is the short rates, and they have not, as of yesterday's posting on the U.S. three-month Treasury bill, it's now at new lows for the move. So, and this and the Fed will have to follow. Here's the other great myth out there, is that the Federal Reserve sets interest rates. They don't. They just follow along while trying to look in charge. Actually, the great conservative economist Milton Friedman pointed that out as well. And they're trying to look in charge, and then you get to the embarrassment of the street discovering that falling T-bill rates is a disaster. And as I said, as of this week, the T-bill rate, new low for the move, and that is a bad omen.
Yes, because Willem continues here. I noticed in the early 1980s there were two spikes of higher U.S. interest rates, 1981 and 84. And I can tell you, 1981, I bought Canada savings bonds that paid 21%. I put every dime I could find into it.
Yeah.
Paid my wife's university tuition. Currently, we seem to be working on a second spike lower for U.S. interest rates. The first spike lower was in the first part of the year 2020. It's the opposite of what happened in the early 1980s. That signals for me that we are ending the 45-year period of falling interest rates. Are rising interest rates ahead in the near future, Bob?
Yeah. Junk bonds are going to go to, some junk bonds will fail, in which case the yield is to the moon. And it could get bad enough for low-grade securities that at times long-traded treasuries could get hit in price. But no, the long treasuries can do okay. As I say, your worst nightmare is the 3 month T-bill rate coming down, and it is, as I say, new lows for the move as of this week.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. First headline comes from Bloomberg. Auto loan delinquencies surge 50% as cracks deepen across U.S. credit markets. I did a little research into that. Repo rates are at what they were back in 2008, the last big recession.
Yeah. Well, the key went for me, this one, is auto loan delinquencies. Yeah. Surge 50%. That's a big move on any price series.
Well, when the U.S. Car market declines, is that not bad for their economy?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that old saying, what's good for GM is good for America.
Yeah, that's for sure, Jim. Good to remind on that saying, yeah.
Daily Beast headline, CEO warns of Black Swan event under Trump.
Yeah, the Black Swan event. I don't know how frequently in the real world Black Swans are born. As we all know, they're white. But it's been used to explain that something is really an exceptional event, a black swan event. Well, the worst crashes follow a great bubble, like clockwork. So it's not an exceptional event, and it's not a black swan event, definitely not. They're repetitive. They're the same. Each one is virtually the same as the one before it. And our great financial bubble has been outstanding, and there are signs that the bubble is beginning to get strained. Let's put it that way, yeah. Oh, it's reaching its gossamer limit.
Headline from Zero Hedge, boosted by extensive use in AI data centers, copper demand is expected to soar.
Yeah. Copper has done very well. I think it was May when it set a record high of $5.35. And it's been trading around since. And but also we got the headline where people are stealing copper. Mm-hmm. So the real price is high enough that people are stealing copper, and they can get enough out of it in the black market for copper. But we haven't seen one yet where the fool is stealing the wires, steal it when they're live wires and get fried. So that has happened on previous examples, and not that I'm ghoulish and looking for them, but it would be an interesting confirmation that the action in copper has gone crazy. So, yeah.
Headline, Wall Street bonuses expected to hit record as bank profits surge.
Yeah, bonuses, man. Hey, that's good stuff. And also, usually for brokers business, the bonuses are paid, you know, kind of December kind of thing. A nice treat for the folks.
And from Bloomberg, Beyond Meat whiplashes traders as stock falls after 1,300% jump.
Beyond Meat, a fake item that became very popular.
Dietitians will tell you, be careful, though. They add more fat and additives to the artificial meat than they do to the real thing.
I guess so.
Yeah, so it's not natural, as they say.
Yeah.
And they say avoid processed products if you want a healthy gut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From Bloomberg, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney stands by his climate agenda.
Oh, yeah. Car- Barney is a green control freak. He, of course, stands there and looks like a very accomplished central banker. He was, of course, governor of the Bank of England. And but no, Carney is a control freak, and he just happened to be controlling the climate. Hey, isn't that an ambition? But essentially, what it is he wants to control people, and for the last while, the control mechanism has been promoted fear of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and it's absolute nonsense. We've got carbon dioxide in the atmosphere about 425 parts per million. There's times when it's been up to 7,000, and there's no, you take a look at the chart over a million years or so, there's no correlation between high carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and temperature. It is a whole lot of real nonsense, but it was used to control people, and Carney is, you know, WEF, globalist control freaks. And the sooner he fails, the better.
Well, remember the carbon tax we had on fuel in Canada, which was removed by Carney, I'm sure, just to get elected, was to fight so-called climate change. But climate change is mostly caused by solar activity, changes in the Earth's orbit, and volcanoes. How do taxes affect the sun, the orbit, or volcanoes? I'd like to know.
Very good, yeah. Yeah, but it's... Now, that movement has been on for 30 years, and it's getting a bit tired. I mean, people are looking, and there really is nothing exceptional out there in the weather from day to day. And as sometimes I think it myself here, Jim, is that before they take on trying to control the climate, let's see if they control the weather from one day to the next. Start small, I say. And if they can control the weather from one day to the next, then we'll allow them to take on the climate.
Right. Now, as you know, climate changes. That the Earth has always had a changing climate, and it will continue to do so.
Yeah.
And so far, the average has been about 100,000 years under ice and 10,000 years without ice. I think we're getting near the end of the 10,000 years.
Oh, yeah. We've been in Well, when I took geology and geophysics a long time ago, the term climate change wasn't used. It was ice ages.
Yeah.
And warming, if somebody declared that warming was bad for life on Earth, they would have been laughed out of the room. So when I was a student, warming was good. And the ice ages were bad. And there were a couple of explanations. One is it was sort of random, where suddenly ocean currents would change, and that would change the precipitation on the frozen parts of the continents. And that one doesn't work. And just what it is as you've been saying, yeah, changes in the orbits and changes in the tilt, and you get changes in climate. And the last really big warm was about 8,000-9,000 years ago.
Right.
Now here's another one. Back when I was a student, it was called the Holocene Optimum. Mm-hmm. And that was the warm period. And then you had times when the whole Earth was one great slush ball. So tell me, how good is that for life? Well, do you want to know? Just look under a glacier and take a look at the life forms under a glacier. Hey, forget about it. And as I said, there was a period when the Earth was kind of like one huge slush ball with barely any life on it at all.
Well, I hope this storm that's hitting the BC coast isn't too bad. A lot of rain. Now they call them atmospheric rivers. Before, they used to be pineapple expresses.
And you know, and I never saw them, one of those events, deliver one pineapple at all, but the term...
because the weather came up from Hawaii.
The term atmospheric river is very good. I like that one. And we're going to get hit with it, so...
Well, as we say in Vancouver, the good thing about rain is you don't have to shovel it.
That's right, yeah.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.